Alante here. Before I start this week's episode, I want to thank you for taking time to listen to this audio blog. Blacken and Grad School was created to encourage and empower women and people of color to and through the grad school journey. Enjoy! Hey y'all, it's Alante with another episode of Blacken and Grad School, and today we're going to talk about a couple things, mostly a recap of the last month or so in my life, since it's been about 7 or 8 episodes since I've had a solo, and it's called Emotional Roller Coaster because that is really how I've been feeling the last couple of weeks. And I'm just ready to share with you all, give you an update, just let you know how things are going on my end, since the whole point originally of the podcast was to share, you know, my story, my take on this grad school struggle. So first, we're going to start with lessons from the trap. And admittedly, I have been in such a grind mode that I have not been listening to new music as much as I usually do. And also Becoming by Michelle Obama came out, which, oh my gosh, you guys. Such a good book. Even though I haven't been reading it physically, I have an Audible account and I've been listening to it on Audible, and I definitely encourage you all to listen or read to that book, especially if you are a woman or a person of color in graduate school. She speaks about some of her experiences, and I mean, it just resonates in a really amazing way. Such a good book. Oh my gosh, I have like 20 minutes left. I cannot wait to finish it. So with that, today's lesson from the trap is a super old song, but from one of my like favorite albums, Get Lifted by John Legend. And he has a song called Live It Up. And the rest of the album, for the most part, or the first half of the album rather, is about, you know, this relationship he's in where he's being shiesty, and then he's like, I love you and let's make it work with Ordinary People, which is like a very popular John Legend song. But that album, I can sing front and back. I freaking love this album. But one song I do love a lot is Live It Up. And this is on the second half, where it's just kind of about family and really positive vibes in that second half of the album. And so this is his first album. So this is like his release on a label. And so it's like starts with, you know, we've been struggling for such a long time, working here and there just to get by. It's finally time for me to get mine. And that's like where the song starts. And I'm just like, yes, man, you know, my backstory and my life, you know, I haven't been working that much, but doing work, you know, to get by. And then like, is the time is here, right? Like in grad school, making it to this point, it's finally time for me to get mine, and beyond just working here and there to get by, it's beyond that, it's to be comfortable. And then he says, no, we don't have to struggle at all, because now every day is feeling like Friday. I'm getting paid and doing it my way. And this is more so for the life that is to come, and trying to visualize and think of what it will feel like on the other side of finishing this program. That's where I'm at right now, is thinking about, man, I cannot wait to feel this way. And the way that he expresses his feelings in this song, I can't wait to feel that way. Because right now, I'm not doing it, but I'm taking the strides, right? We're all making those strides to get to that point, right? Where it feels good. Every day's feeling like Friday. Ooh, getting paid. Ooh, yeah, I cannot wait to get paid. Oh my gosh. So then there's like the chorus and stuff, and then the second set starts with like, no more putting it in Lil Way, because Boo, I got the money today. And I'm like, yes, you know, every now and then, even though Lil Way doesn't exist anymore, I definitely, you know, have to save up for certain things and have to put my own personal finances in the Lil Way system for certain things. And like, I got the money today. That's, I can't wait to feel that way, where I'm not like thinking about, oh, okay, I want to buy these boots. All right, well, so I could buy them in 2 months because I'll save the money for them. And then we're finally on our way. Baby, now it's time to celebrate. And just thinking again about that future place that I'll be in, where I can really just enjoy and embrace this experience and in a place of remembering it and what I learned and what I gained through this program and the growth that happened in the time that I was in this program, and celebrating those things. just kind of, again, thinking about what it will be like in the future and just remembering that there is an end to this journey. Not to say that it's been bad so far, but you all know it's grueling. And so just wanting to feel light and happy about what will happen later helps. And so this is a really great song. It's kind of ballady, but it has like a really good beat. I mean, if you haven't listened to Let's Get Lifted, somehow it is such a good album. Oh my gosh. John Legend, the original album, loved it. So that's my lesson from the trap today. So like I said, I wanted to do a recap of pretty much the month of November and kind of what's been going on. So at the high level, this semester, I am preparing for my second set of comprehensive exams. And as you know, I'm in these two programs. So the second program, the structure of the comprehensive exam is part A and part B. So part A is a paper that is supposed to be publication quality that encapsulates a study that you've done that is has an engineering component and also a public policy component. So the point of the program that I'm in, the engineering and public policy program, and actually Travis shared a lot of this in his episode, The Balanced Scholar. The program teaches us how to help inform and do research around public policy as it relates to highly technical topics. So my topic being autonomous vehicle technology. So my project is looking at how public transit agencies can incorporate shared autonomous shuttles or shared autonomous vehicles into the existing public transit systems that they have and the cost effectiveness of doing that. And so I've been working on this paper literally yesterday. I submitted my first kind of like full draft of the paper. And so I'm waiting for edits back from my advisors, and I'll be working on that until December 21st. And then there's part B, which is the actual exam where you get 6 days to answer a question that, again, has that highly technical detail, but we have to help give some sort of public policy related analysis and information and like suggestions for maybe recommendations for how to deal with the issue. And so you have to use like certain like analysis tools and know which ones you're supposed to be using, and or if you use the wrong, I guess the quote unquote wrong one, reasoning why you use that analysis tool over another. So that is the structure. And then you have to do a oral exam, oral presentation of your research, but you don't have to do an oral defense of your answer. You do not. Right. Okay. So either you have to pass both parts to pass the comprehensive exam. There, of course, are variations of things that will happen to certain people. But my goal is to pass both, because if I pass both, that means I will be done with all my comprehensive exam stuff. And all I have left is my thesis/dissertation proposal. And you can do that the following fall, right? So I could be doing that fall 19 is doing that presentation. But all in all, this process, the comprehensive exam process, is pretty much the entire fall semester and then the first week in January. So the first, from the 4th through the 10th, I will be taking my second set of comprehensive exams. So there's... And then I have to present, I think, by like the 14th or so. And then I have then there's a meeting on the 29th of January that tells us whether or not we passed the comprehensive exam. The entire thing. So pretty much it's like this semester and then the full month of January, I'll be like in comprehensive exam mode. So with that, it does feel in some ways a little bit more daunting than my civil comprehensive exam process, where that process, as I shared in previous episodes, was you have to ask 4 questioners. They give you a question. You have 4 days to answer 4 questions, and then you have to defend your answers in a meeting, and then they tell you if you passed or not. So while it's more straightforward, there's a little bit more variation in the content, because the 4 people can ask your set of 4 people can ask all types of different questions with varying levels of difficulty. And so as a result, it's just a little bit like a lot more unknown. Whereas in this program, everyone gets one question and they have to answer that one question. So like the entire cohort gets one question, they have to answer it, and then they just kind of determine if it's good enough or PhD level work or not. So with that, that's kind of the difference between the two. This department, so EPP, they have a course that we have to take, and we don't have to, it's an optional course, but everyone takes it in the fall, that helps us learn how to think through answering the Part B. And in addition to taking the class, also a smaller, like a subset of my cohort members, we met and like studied different ways to do analysis and went over analysis tools and how to use them, how to set them up, and did a practice question together to kind of just really, really solidify that we know what we're doing when it's time to take the exam. And we like keep each other in check and answer questions in our Slack group. In addition to that, and I'm just sharing the ways that I've been preparing, I also have been talking to people who took went through this process last year or the year beforehand. And also our department has like awards for your Part A and Part B, like best Part A and best Part B. And fortunately, three of my friends have had the best Part A's or Part B's. So I talked to them. Like at first I was like, I want to have the best Part B or best Part A in my department, or the best Part A in my cohort. And I think that is a great goal and helps me to like really work hard. However, now that I have 2 weeks until the thing is due, I'm a lot more like, I just want to pass. I want to pass it. I don't want to be at the bottom, but I definitely don't need to be at the top. So I've adjusted my own expectations. But really, again, wanting to do well and want to definitely give my best effort. But again, the point is to pass and to move to the next milestone. So I have been taking that approach versus like trying to kill myself to have the best Part A. Or I don't know about the Part EB, but you know, definitely the Part A has a little bit more control because that's a research paper. So that's what I've been doing to prepare. And because of that, my study the difference in the two also is that with civil, because there wasn't like a set way to study, I had to study on my own. And as such, I did a lot of that during Christmas break. And if you are an older listener, you've been listening for a while, last year this time, I had a lot of family stuff going on. My grandfather was in the hospital the entire like month of December, like very, very ill. My dear, dear friend had a sudden death in her family. And so it just was really hard to focus and to study for the comprehensive exam. And I was also just exhausted from my first semester as a PhD student. So it was just kind of hard. But on the other, so it was hard to study. And the fact that I had to continue studying, I never really got a break last year. Like I'd been going. Whereas this year, because I had the course, I already had study groups, I've talked to my friends, I'm hoping that week of Christmas and New Year's, I will not be studying or doing anything heavy related to my research. Like I'm really going to take that week and just let my brain take a break, because on the 4th, I'll be, you know, stressing out with the comprehensive exam. So that part I do like, that I actually get a break, where last year, I mean, I feel like I ended up taking a break, but it wasn't really a break because I was so, you know, overwhelmed with what was going on in my personal life, that the academics just end up taking a back burner to that versus, and so that was actually just additional stress, knowing that I should be studying, but it's too much going on in my world to give it the attention it deserves. Whereas this time it's like, okay, I can actually just take a break because I've been studying for this the entire semester. So not like if I don't know it now, oh well, but I'm more prepared and I'm prepared in a different way and the structure is different. So it's been a little bit more conducive to me, again, being able to take that break. So I'm really looking forward to that week of breathing and working on podcast stuff. So that is kind of that high level stuff that's going on. One really quick great moment that happened is I've been given the opportunity to mentor and develop a relationship with a freshman here on campus. She's from Atlanta and was was having some challenges. She's in one of my advisor's classes, and he asked if, you know, I would meet with her for coffee. And we just, oh my gosh, y'all, we just really clicked. And she was sharing some of the unfortunate things that have been happening to her in her classes. And we just were able to really talk. And, I tried to do my best to encourage her through what she was going through and give her some advice. And she just really took to me, and I took to her. And I'm just really excited. Like, oh my gosh, is this what it would be like if, you know, I wasn't a grad advisor and I met my students and we just clicked and da 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 and mentoring. And it was really exciting. And I felt very honored that my advisor even thought enough of me that I would be a good person for her to talk to and to help her through navigating her college experience. So that gave me all the good vibes and good feelings. And it's been just really nice getting to know her. Next. So, yeah, I have like a couple things that have happened, but this is the second half. The second half is all going to go into the topic of the week. So it's going to be good. Next, I went to homecoming. Oh my gosh, I was at GHO. Oh, if you remember episode 8, or if you go back and listen to episode 8, it's called Grad School Sacrifices Suck, where I did not go to homecoming last year and I was so sad and just was like, this is the worst thing ever. Why would I come to grad school if it means I'm not going to go to homecoming? And so this year I was like hell bent on making sure that I made it. And so I really did have a lot of fun. I knew that I was going, so I did my best to get all my work done before I went, you know, have all the things organized. My little money was straight, you know, just I really felt like when I landed in North Carolina that I had done a pretty good job of being prepared for that summit that weekend, like having my meetings were going smoothly with my advisors. I was making, you know, enough progress where they were satisfied. I was in a really good place. And I felt like for the first time since I had ever been in grad school, right, from my master's program to now, I had a guilt-free weekend. Like, I didn't feel guilty at all that I did not open my laptop for 3 days. Like, there was not an inch of guilt. I just was like, I'm having such a good time, and I really deserve this, and I am just happy, right? Like, were things perfect? No, but I hadn't gotten to a place where I wasn't always criticizing myself for not spending every waking moment working. And so that was just really, really nice. And I got to hang out with my best friend, like my best friend from college, Joy. Of course, we went together because we went to A&T. My best friend, Chelsea, who lives in Chicago, she came. Kelsey came down from Virginia. Brittany came. Our friend Tyra came. My friend Brandy came. It was a big crew of us. We had a great time. And Onique came too. Oh my god, I feel like I'm forgetting somebody. So it was like a bunch of us just hanging, going out. You know, I had been working out, so I felt like I was looking cute in my little outfits, you know, just really, really, really a blessing and just a breath of fresh air to not be talking about school, to not be thinking about school. And even the podcast that weekend, I didn't usually Saturdays I spend my entire day working on the podcast. I got to just have like a, you know, a carefree Saturday. It was just really, really nice. And I just felt like balanced, and I had finished all the stuff for the Balanced Scholar Challenge. And so that was starting, that Monday. I just really was feeling like, yeah, Lante, I'm on top of things. I'm out here. Woo woo. Huh. It was great. I mean, homecoming was great. Great. Oh, I had so much fun. But in like the cruelest like plot twist, I flew in back to Pittsburgh that Monday. I got in about noon, and I have my meetings with my advisors at 4, and I'm on this high like, yeah, man, I'm just out here getting this work done. I'm ready for my meeting. I had done some work before I left. I just hadn't presented to them, so I was going to present it to them that day. And I just really was like, yeah, Balanced Scholar starts today. I'm about to have my meeting. I'm going to go for a run. I am balanced. Yes. And this work is done. And I have fun. Yeah. And then I get to my advisor's office, and in my meeting, like one of my advisors asks me like a really simple question about my model. And I don't really know what he's talking about. Like, I'm not understanding. So they're giving me suggestions to make changes. And I'm like, sluggish. My brain just feels really sluggish. So I'm like, okay, can I record this meeting? Because I just feel like I'm not capturing what you're trying to say. I need to listen to it later. Like, yeah, no problem, blah, blah, blah. So I'm just listening and trying to answer questions, but I'm like forgetting where that information is, or like, oh, well, where'd you get that number? Like, oh, it's not in the notes on the side of the Excel sheet. Oh, it's not. Oh my gosh. I don't know. I'm not sure where I got that from, but I know I got it from somewhere. I didn't make it up. Or, oh, okay, well, you should do this instead of that. And I just was like, I'm so confused. And I don't even know what question to ask him to clarify what I'm confused about. And then my brain goes, this is what you get for not working this weekend. This is what happens when you don't work and when you decide you want to have fun. And so I'm still trying to, like, you know, ignore that negative self-talk and trying to get through my meeting. And he says, like, they make another comment, and like a thug tear, y'all, a thug tear comes down, which has happened before. And usually it's real quick, like just a little, ooh, like almost as if an allergy kind of like tear. It does not cause warning in the conversation or anything. And then I can't even tell you what was said exactly, but I feel like I was asked maybe 3 or 4 questions, and I just was having a hard time answering them. And my brain was the whole time is just like, that's what you get. You do not, how dare you have a good guilt-free weekend thinking that you could do that? How dare you tell other people or try to share what you know about being balanced with people, and look at you now, you don't even know what you're talking about. And y'all, that negative self-talk loop was beating me up. I couldn't even hear what my advisors were talking about anymore, because I was just absolutely degrading myself in my mind. And I promise you, the question was kind of like, well, can you highlight this cell so I can see the calculation? It wasn't even like a super hypercritical request. And I just started crying. I just felt so guilty all of a sudden for having a guilt-free weekend. Like, I felt bad about not feeling bad. Like, you know, here I am finally, feeling like I've gotten a good handle on this grad school thing, and then everything comes crumbling down because I don't know the answer to a question. And so I didn't deserve that weekend. I didn't deserve to feel good about things. I definitely didn't deserve to be talking to you all about, you know, my experiences. And it just felt crappy. And I started crying. So, but I'm like still, I tried my best to be a strong person. So I like, you know, took that deep breath, like, I'm okay. And I kept going with the meeting, like for like 10 or 15 more minutes. I'm like, nope, it's fine. I'll be all right. And so we kept kind of going, and I'm trying to just push through, even though my voice is cracking a little bit. And then I just can't even control it anymore. So I ask them, you know, can I please take a moment to get myself together? So I go to the bathroom, and like, y'all, like the boohoo, like that type of crying is coming out of me, because again, it's not even what's going on in the meeting. It's that negative self-talk that happens sometimes. I feel like as graduate students, we are people who are really striving to be our best, and any moments that don't feel like your best just are amplified. And again, my negative self-talk loop was just going in, and I couldn't stop it anymore. Like, it had taken over. So I got back to the meeting, and I asked if we can reconvene, and I apologized for being unprofessional. I'm like, you know, I apologize for coming in here and, you know, losing my cool, but let's maybe meet later this week or just have our meeting next Monday, and I promise I will have answers to your questions, and it won't go like this next time. And, you know, my advisors they're really supportive. They're like, you know, it's okay. This happens to everybody. Like, one of my advisors was like, I had lost count of the amount of times I cried in my advisor's office by the time I graduated. And, you know, we're only asking questions to, you know, strengthen your work. We're not trying to attack you. You know, we don't want you to feel attacked. And I genuinely never felt attacked. It was me being upset with myself. And so, and I got upset about being upset, and then I just was feeling horrible, and this cycle was just really, really, getting the best of me. So with that, I kind of want to talk about combating negative self-talk and the emotions that can come along with those. And the first thing I've learned, and the first thing I want to talk about, is something that I've learned in therapy, and it has been really useful for me, is asking myself in those moments when I have this negative scenario going on, for example, you know, I should have never went on that trip. I should have never went to homecoming. You know, that's why I don't know what's going on, or I'm having a bad meeting right now. I can ask myself, or I try to ask myself, what else could be true? What else beyond that trip, you know, quote unquote, messing me up with school could be true? And so I have to really think about that. And so for that example I gave you, something else that could be true would be like, maybe this wasn't a good day for a meeting, because not because I've been gone, but you know, maybe this was a bad meeting because the question he asked me, I didn't have written down, and I should have done that before, you know, regardless of the trip. I should have just made that step earlier, and it was an oversight, not because I'm incompetent, but I made a mistake because I'm human, or I forgot something because I'm human. So just trying to think about what else could be true in that situation has helped me sometimes create other alternative, less, you know, dire scenarios that are happening in that moment or in that situation. So that's kind of what I was trying to do. And the next thing I suggest is get a small list of people that you can call in case of grad school emergencies. So I knew in that moment I was so upset, and like my own brain was not on my side. Like, I mean, it was, even after the meeting, I was still going way in. And that question I ended up having to ask myself that evening, not at 4:45 when the meeting was ending, but that night at 10:30 when I was going to sleep to console myself. But when I got in the car at 4:45, I called my people. And so the three people I called is Kelsey, my friend who has her PhD already, Maurice, he has his PhD already, and my friend Liza, who is a third year here. And so I called Kelsey, actually, and I ended up talking to them in this order, Kelsey, Maurice, and Liza. So Kelsey answered, she called me right back. She was in a meeting with a student, and she called me right back, and I told her what happened, and she was super duper duper, you know, affirming, like, no, and she was at homecoming too. So it was like, oh no, Alante, you absolutely deserve, you know, a trip. You have to take a break. Your work requires a break. You know, really kind of building me back up. You know, everyone has bad meetings. It's okay. You know, it does not mean that you are not fit for grad school, that you cannot be, you know, in grad school and enjoy your life. Like, it's okay. So she was great. Oh my gosh, made me feel so much better. She's super into fitness. She's like, you know, go for a walk, you know, get some fresh air and take a break, and then try, you know, to get back to work tonight if you have to, you know, but just still take a moment to just kind of get your thoughts back and then, you know, move forward. So that was great. Like, Kelsey, love her. Maurice, who I love, you know, I love, and I know I needed this too, gave me a little bit more tough love, right? So I had someone affirming, followed by someone who was much more direct. He was very, 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 very like, I'm here to get this job done. I will spend all my time on this work, and then I will live after. I feel like that was more or less his approach while he was in grad school. Where Kelsey traveled and did a lot really in her personal life in addition to, you know, getting through her PhD program. And so he was like, okay, you tired to go, you know, that's fine and well, but why would you have a meeting the same day you fly in? And why would you, you know, maybe you need to go for 3 days. Why couldn't you just go like on Saturday? Or, you know, just like, if you're going to be doing stuff, you know, he's like, it's grind time. That's the reason you're in school, is to get this PhD. And so that is where you need to have your attention. And so I think that that was necessary too. Like, yeah, I did mess up and it could have been avoided. So, you know, I need to make sure it doesn't happen again. It grounded the fluffy and the love and the affirmation I got from Kelsey. And lastly, I talked to Liza because she is here. She understands what the situation is at our school, the context of the way that we can move and maneuver as graduate students where we are. And she's ahead of me in the program. And so she kind of helped me strategize for what to do next time, as far as meetings and travel and stuff like that. And so I really, really was appreciative to, you know, kind of my ICE crew, my in case of emergency crew that were able to support, support me through that moment, right? It was great. And it's not something like that I couldn't have talked to other friends about, but I was really, the thing to me that's important is having people who are in or have been in your shoes and the position that you are in that can provide advice. Like, my mother was loving and like, oh no, Alante, you totally deserve to go on that trip. You know, I hope you don't think that. But there's a difference in having, again, that conversation with someone who who knows what that feels like and has been in those shoes. And so your in case of emergency crew should at least include one or two people who have been through that experience, who can help you through the experience. So I think that was really, really useful for me in that moment. And then I did go for a walk after that. I ended up going for a walk. There's a park near my house, and I just took a break so I could regroup, so I could focus on the rest of the evening and the work that I did. And also, my advisors, even in that moment, like, were like, again, told me that this was normal and that they still supported me and were super supportive. And so finally, the last thing about really the emotional response, like if this happens to you or you have an emotional response during a meeting or in a place that you did not want to have it, remembering that this is still a professional setting. And there is space for emotional responses, for sure. I Googled all this afterwards because I was like, this is crazy. I don't really believe I literally cried in this meeting. So I just Googled like what to do when you cry after a meeting and how do you handle it. And because I wanted to handle it professionally, because I do take my work seriously, and I know that there's already kind of like a blurriness to advisor and advisee relationships. However, I still view it as a very, very professional relationship that happens to kind of like bleed over a little bit into personal for me. And that's the way that my situation is. Of course, that can vary greatly by anyone's experiences, and the person who's your advisor, relationship you have with your advisor, can be extremely friendly with the professional or, you know, whatever. But again, this is what I did. I met with my main advisor first individually and kind of let him know what was going on and apologized again for my, actually, I didn't really apologize for crying, but just kind of let him know what was going on and how I'm going to, you know, make sure it doesn't happen again. The advisor who was asking me questions, I sat down with him very briefly to just kind of say, you know, I want to acknowledge what happened, and I want you to know, I don't want you to, I value your input, and I don't want you to think that my response in that moment was to your questions. It was my own inner reaction to what was going on and my disappointment that I didn't have the answers to your questions immediately. And I would have preferred it to be that way versus having to get back to you, because I have done the work, and it just seemed like I couldn't, you know, relay it in that moment. And that became frustrating to me, not what you were saying, right? So that way I also let my advisor know that I still want him to speak up and to not be nervous or tiptoe around me when it comes to difficult or actually challenging things that are going to happen in my program and while I progress. And then I had one more advisor. She doesn't live, she lives in California. So I said to her, I sent her an email, like, because she couldn't see what was going on. She just heard silence. She was like, you know, you can, what did she say? I said to her, you know, I want to acknowledge what happened. And, you know, it wasn't the professional behavior that I like to exhibit, and I'll be making strides to make sure it does not happen again. And she was super supportive. Everyone was super supportive, but that was kind of the follow-up. I didn't necessarily apologize for crying. I just acknowledged what happened. Let's acknowledge it. We're not going to just ignore it. This happened. This is what I want to do moving forward. I don't want this to change the way that you all behave with me. You know, I just had a bad day. And so really that's all it came to, was like the emotions of being on this like super high of like enjoying myself, coming and feeling like everything crashed down because I had a bad meeting, and having to combat that negative self-talk with my crew and thinking about what else could be true. And then again, addressing it in a professional way with the people that happened around. And so to keep things moving forward, I feel like this happened the first week of November, and I don't feel like things have changed or relationship dynamics have shifted in my relationships with my advisors. And so that is kind of the final piece about dealing with these sticky situations that can come up while you're in school. And it might even be school related that you might end up tearing up in a meeting, right? Like, there are a lot of things that can be going on, you know, with family members or your personal life, you know, that can really just sometimes come up at the least opportune time. And so I just wanted to kind of equip you with some responses and some help for those sticky moments and those emotional moments in grad school. So the last thing I want to talk about, I'm almost done, I promise, is just some goals I have for, oh yeah, last thing, sorry. Last thing, as far as in the future, if it's like a travel, one thing I did learn, if I am traveling, I will not have, and I get back on a Monday and my meeting is like really close, I will make my meeting 1 day or 2 days after I return. That way I can get back in the swing of things. Don't know what I was thinking, but I was trying to be like, I'm everything. I can do it all. I can party. I can get up and do a meeting the same day. Maybe that could be true in the future, but not that particular weekend. And so I think I'll put into practice, again, giving myself a little bit of a day or two after personal travel to recollect and get back in the groove before I have meetings. Okay. And you might want to consider the same. So last thing, just like some short goals that I just want to jot down for 2019. I'll be doing a couple more episodes this month. January, as I said, is my comprehensive exam. So I think I'm going to be taking a break in January just so I can get through that, kind of get some more content in the pipeline for you all. And just kind of let you know, I guess, some of my goals. On the academic side, I'm in the draft of one paper and I need to finish the second paper. So I'm hoping to submit two papers for publication next year in 2019. And also, I also want to present, like I say, 3 or 4 times this new work. That would be like so awesome. Also, I recognize it is time for me to start networking. I know I've talked about it before, that networking, not a fan. I do struggle with networking, but I think I am coming around to the idea of like, I can build authentic, genuine relationships with people, and I don't have to be every, 3 or 4 days I talk to this person. I guess I felt like networking was not genuine because of like the weird time, the timing of it, like, you know, how often do you talk to this person? What do you do? And so me becoming more comfortable with like establishing the relationship and then touching base and just kind of keeping that connection warm I'm finally there. And so I really want to focus on building a network because I'm in a field where I'm not from this field or from this space. And so I don't have any real network within the industry, and I need a job in 2.5 years. So I want to have some really great people that will advocate and help me navigate this space that can be allies or advocates or, you know, mentors, all of that, all of the above. Next, for the podcast, I want to collaborate with other academic creatives. My goal is to do 6 kind of collaborative projects or presentations with people. Oh, that would be so awesome. Over the course of 2019, I want to meet you all in person. I don't know in what form that will look like yet, and I am really like pressed to do this, but that's kind of like on my goal list of meeting listeners and followers in person. And then lastly, I really want to personally help 50 listeners or followers in their grad school journey, you know, whether you're applying or you're in pre-dissertation phase. So if you're like a master's student writing your thesis, anything but like pretty much ABD, I want to support you and help you like on a one-on-one sort of way And so that is my goal. Those are my goals for the podcast. And that's really it. That's the end of this episode. Thank you all for listening. You all know how you can reach me. It'll be on the outro. And I will talk to you guys next week. Remember, grad school tough, but you're tougher. Bye.
Hi, Alante again. I really want this project to be a resource for my fellow people of color and women in grad school. So if you have any questions or requests for topics, shoot me an email at alante@strengthsnotstrikes.com. That's A-L-L-A-N-T-E. At strengthsnotstrikes.com. Please remember to subscribe and review and share with your other friends in grad school. Thank you.